Donna Otto remembers a stressful time in her life.
I was involved in too many programs, too many Bible studies, too many too manys. And it had robbed me of any fun spirit at home. And every day, day in and day out, I was too busy getting done everything that needed to be done so that I could be fun to the outside world and be a drag to my man.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Tuesday, July 24th.
Been talking this week with a real live mentor, a woman who's not afraid to say, I'm an older woman. She has been faithful to the Lord, and God has given her the joy of seeing the dysfunctional home background that she came out of has given her the chance of starting a new family line, of building a home that is based on holy ground, a home for the Lord. And now she's challenging and training younger women about how to do this. She's written a terrific book called Finding Your Purpose as a Mom, How to Build Your Home on Holy Ground. And Donna Otto, thank you for being with us on Revive Our Hearts. You've been with us before, and we've got in the room today a group of younger moms who are just, we're kind of sitting at your feet and being challenged and blessed and encouraged, and we've been having fun too.
We have.
And you know how to laugh, and that's one of the things I appreciate about you. And I enjoyed reading in your book the emphasis that you placed in your family and that you think families need to place on this whole thing of enjoyment, rejoicing, having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking we have some listeners, and I hear from moms who are, they're very serious and intentional about their families, about doing it right. But sometimes I read their letters and I think, I'm not sure they're having any fun doing this.
Exactly.
That's not a good thing, is it?
It's not a good thing. And I come to that with great experience, because I'm a very serious person. I remember I was doing some video work, and one of my board members put up a sign that said, smile. And I thought, you know, the Lord has used people to remind me. It's not that I wasn't wanting to be cheery about it or that I didn't choose cheerfulness. It's that I'm so serious about the serious side of life that I forget. Now, I'm married to a lawyer. Retired lawyer. And so our world lives and works around yellow pads. It's kind of a Otto family tradition. We all have yellow pads and we're all making notes on yellow pads. And my husband and I decided in marriage many years ago that there was the business of marriage. We didn't like it. Neither one of us liked the business of marriage. We liked the idealism of marriage, the fun of marriage, the love of marriage. We didn't like the business of marriage. And we tended to let it slip around. So we decided we would meet regularly and talk about the business of marriage. So one day we meet for lunch, and neither one of us like these lunches. Remember that. You know, that's sort of the criteria here. But we know it's right, and we're doing it. And we're doing what you said
just
earlier.
Just talking about things that need to be worked on
things
in your marriage.
Things, a schedule that needs to be worked out, and how we're spending the money. Mm-hmm. Major stuff that always can, you know, cause trouble. So he gets to the lunch, and he opens up his suit jacket, and he pulls out of a yellow piece of paper out of his blue starched shirt, and he unfolds it four times. And then he turns it to the readable side to face me, and it says, I want more fun. I was appalled. And if I could have stood up and put my hands on my hips and said, how dare you, I would have. Everyone knows that I'm fun.
Except your husband, apparently.
Everyone knows I am. People invite me to their parties because I am fun. I make people laugh. I'm not funny, but I am fun.
Uh-huh.
My daughter says that there's a fun barometer when it comes to me. And she says when I'm trying to be funny, I can't get the needle to move. But when I'm interested in having fun, I make people laugh. I know how to have fun. Now, here's my husband who tells me he wants more fun. What does that mean? So he said, I don't want to talk about it. I want you to think about it. Well, that's even worse. It's like telling a child, I'm not angry with you. I'm disappointed, you know. I wanted to go home. But I did. I went home and I said, Lord, what does this mean? What is my husband, without him telling to me, you tell me, because you understand the root of it. You know me. And I was fun with everyone else but at home.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't fun at home. I was getting the work done. I was keeping everybody in line. One time at the dinner table, I, with the gift of prophecy also, said to my daughter, who said something that was erroneous, and I said to her with my finger pointing at her, "That is a lie from the pits of hell. Replace it with truth." And there was this pregnant pause at the table. Like, did my mother just say that? And then we all started to laugh. And, of course, it's an Otto's motto because there's a lot of truth to it. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Replace it with truth. What is truth about it? But that's how serious I was at home. And what David was really saying, honey, you are fun. People think you're fun. We used to have fun. Could you tell me what happened to fun in our household and between the two of us? And I had taken it, A, very seriously, and I was busy at home. Now, watch on to this one. I was too busy at home doing things that at that season in my life I should not have been doing.
Such as?
Ministry in the church. I was involved in too many programs, too many Bible studies, too many too manys. And it had robbed me of any fun spirit at home. And at home, I could be who I was naturally with the people who live there. And every day, day in and day out, I was too busy getting done everything that needed to be done so that I could be fun to the outside world and be a drag to my man. Now, men like fun more than kids like fun, but kids like fun. And kids like fun, which really isn't manufactured. And if mamas are listening, mamas, don't buy stuff to have fun. Don't make plans to do. Just sit down and let who you are be who you are to your children.
And let your children be who they are to you.
Exactly. And I think you do that about as intentionally as you do other things in life, Nancy. And I find myself with young children. I don't intend to do anything with them. I just plan to sit there. Years ago, I heard this little vignette about a relationship with Jesus. A woman who sat 2 hours every day in the church, didn't read, didn't study, didn't sing, didn't kneel, didn't speak, just sat there. And the custodian said to her after 2 months of watching her do this, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I look at Jesus, he looks at me, and we look at each other. And when I met David, that's what I did. I looked at him. I just looked at him. He is the most handsome, dark-haired, deep mustache, so smart. I just looked at him. I was so happy just to look at him. And he was happy to look at me, and we were happy just looking at each other." What happens to that? And I think we have to cultivate that. That is being in the presence of someone that you love just for being in the presence.
Without any agenda.
No agenda. No to-doing. We don't have to get up and get dressed and go somewhere. Now, some women who are listening have husbands who like to get up and go and do. My man really likes to sit. He likes to do whatever casual thing we're doing together. But he likes me to be free to do it with him. And I wasn't free, and I wasn't any fun.
And for a lot of women, that feels like I'm not being productive. I'm not getting anything checked off my list. But it is productive.
It is. And if that's who your man is particularly, you need to be conscious of that. So ask yourself before your husband asks you, "I want more fun," before he says he makes note of the fact that he's not having any fun. I'm very conscious of it. I'm very conscious. I get in a deadline for a book. Even now, I'm very conscious of the fact that I can go out to my office and hide out there for hours. My man calls fun if I'm with him, and we can do and laugh over. The other thing about fun is creating things that build a language between you and your husband. Between you and your family. We have Ottoisms at our house that no one in the world would understand except us. We don't want them to understand them. They're Ottoisms. My husband and I have a secret love language. It belongs to the two of us that we have cultivated. And that's the part that you do in that fun time. I mean, it sounds like I'm speaking out of two sides. It's something you do. It's something you let happen when you have time to be with the man you love. Did I always feel love for David? No. No, I've not always felt love for David. Any woman who's been married longer than 2 months can say, "I wish I'd never seen this man before." And I'm not ashamed to say that at all. It is the honest of my heart. I have kept my commitment. I am confident of God's plan in our lives. I love this man. but I have not always felt love toward him. And that day when he said, I want more fun, I realized that there was a side of my life that I could easily let get sucked up by other things. And David is still singularly the most important earthly relationship I have. So create places where fun can happen and cause celebrations, not only between the two of you. Jim Dobson has been an important leader in our country to talk to us about intentionally creating memories and celebrations.
And his wife, Shirley.
And his wife, Shirley.
Has been a huge part of making that happen in your family.
Exactly. Gaither and Dobson wrote that book about creating memories. I recommend it. If you don't know how to do that, and I didn't know how to do that because I didn't come from it in my growing years, mm-hmm. my growing up years. So how do you make merry in your home? How do you have fun? How do you create a language? There are some really practical things to do that. And creating celebrations that are repetitive.
Meaningful traditions.
When my daughter was 4 years old, we lived in the city of Chicago. And we went to the pizzeria to get our pizza, not have it delivered. We went. So it's cold. It's wintertime. I get in the front seat of the car. I'm driving, and I put that pizza to the passenger seat. And the smell of that pizza is wafting through that heated-up car with the cold outside, and I couldn't resist it. I pulled back the lid. I took out a slice of the pizza pie, took a big bite out of it. I put the pizza pie piece back in the pizza, put the lid back down, got home, put it on the table. My 4-year-old daughter, with her big brown eyes, said, Mommy, somebody bited our pizza. And in that moment, I thought, here's a tradition coming. And I think it's when you say, how do we create a language that belongs to the Otto family?
Uh-huh.
We've been taking a bite out of the pizza for 31 years. We're still taking a bite out of the pizza. Mama, somebody bited our pizza. It's an Otto tradition.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a secret one, obviously. I've just told it. But there's a language that happens within a family, and I think the mama helps that. So don't get too busy that you don't have time to be free of your thinking. Is this a moment? Is this an idea? And then when you hear your kids say, we always do it that way at our house, and you scratch your head and say, that's the first time we did that. Kids have a sense about taking propriety interest in something they do in their family. So don't wait till your husband says, I want more fun. Be a woman of merry heart. Eat, drink, and be merry, enjoying what God has given us. And he has given us everything to enjoy.
So are you a rejoicing woman? Will your children remember you as a joyful mother of children, as Psalm 113 says? Your children are not going to be as impressed, nor is your husband, by all the things you checked off your to-do list or how perfectly kept your home was, though a sense of order and peace will bless them too. But what an important thing for them to remember. I had a mom who enjoyed God, enjoyed us, enjoyed living, rejoiced in every good thing God gave us. And I think that quality of joy is something that in some families that are doing a lot of right things is really missing. You know what? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you manufacture, because life isn't always joyful. Life isn't always joyous. But it's something that God, by the power of His Spirit within you, can make a part of your heart, can give you a merry heart, a joyful heart. So you may just want to pray now, Lord, make me a joyful woman. And that means being a fun wife to your husband. Your husband needs to have fun with you. Remember what it was like when you were courting?
Mm-hmm.
Before you had children? You may need to pull out some of those memories and ask God to give you some fresh memories and to help you make some joyful celebrations and traditions that your kids will look back on and maybe even want to put into their family someday.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been talking with Donna Otto on the balance between tasks and fun. When Donna counsels women, she sometimes has them draw stick figures in a simple house. The exercise helps women set priorities. One of our listeners is thinking through this exercise and wondering how to continue investing in the life of a daughter about to leave the nest.
If you saw my picture on my refrigerator, you'd see that there'd be 12 little stick figures there. God gave us one also. She graduated from high school a few weeks ago, and we're so delighted about what God's going to do in her life as she goes off to college. But I wondered what you might speak to a person who is in a place where I don't want to cover. Also, it's a place of grief because it is final. I don't get another chance to work on where I'm at. But I am. There's a tremendous amount of joy coupled with that. I just wondered what kind of word you might give in the transition time as I reflect on our home and what that's going to look like. Because my husband is also in that same place of grief.
We dropped our daughter at college. She was 17 years old. It was a choice that we agreed on when she was little to advance her education, and she jumped a grade. The day we dropped her college, the weekend events of the college she attended, we got in the van to come home. We mourned our decision. We mourned our daughter. My husband cried so hard at one point, he had to pull the van off the road so he could have a good sob. Been there, done that. Understand it, and I think it's natural. Now I want to say to you, with a little finger wagging, don't forget you're the mama, okay? You're the mama, the more mature one. And so you have to find the balance that says to this sweet, cherubic daughter of yours, I love you, I'll miss you unbelievably. But this is what is right for your course of life, and you have to say that and mean it. Because she knows the difference. You have to mean, I'm going to miss you dreadfully. Because if you buck up and act big and strong about it, she'll think, well, they're just glad I'm gone. We bought a new little kitchen table when our daughter left for college that's just for the two of us, and she came home the first time and saw the big table gone and the little table. She said, well, what happened here? I said, a new season in life, honey. She looks back at it now and says, Mama, I'm so glad you and Daddy had a life of your own. You took such responsibility off of me because I was an only child. So there's a tension there. The last thing I want to tell you is God is a God of returning stolen property. He is a redemptive God. And the things you didn't teach her you wished you had, which every woman feels that loss, oh, I wish I had. Sometimes we get it 7 years early. We think, oh, I only have 7 years left. I only have 4 years left. I only have 2 years left. God is a God of redemption and returning stolen property. You don't know that you're not going to get another chance. You have to trust God. You may get another chance. Children today are coming home to live back home far more often. You may have another chance that real. You may wishing she didn't come back home. Our daughter did. She came back home and lived with us again. Two different times. She married late in life. The other thing is remember that God still is the sovereign God who knows what she needs to learn. And you have to subjugate your desire to be the one to teach it to her. You may not be the one, sweetheart. God may send me to teach it to her. Your heart has to be, it doesn't matter who teaches it, as long as she gets it. So keep praying for the missing elements, the things you miss, the things you learn. For me, that was huge. I learned a lot of things about myself after our daughter was grown and gone. And I thought, oh, if I'd only known this about myself before, how will she ever know? Well, she knows. And now as two adults talking to each other, I can tell her a lot of things about what I learned as an adult. And she has ears to listen to it. And she does love to hear me tell about my journey because she is part of me. She is the daughter of my womb and not the daughter of my heart. I hope that encourages you. And know that there are a lot of us who've walked that road. Women always will. That's the nurturing nature of a child who we call child. God's precious gift he gives to us to teach and train and mother for our lives and different seasons of it.
Were there some specific things that you did at that juncture, though? I feel like the Lord wants me to not stop what I'm doing currently in ministry, but to not take on anything new mm-hmm. for the next 6 months, just so that I have a chance to hear the Lord's voice rather than to seek it with emotion. And it seems like I have some vultures flying around me that would love to occupy my time. And I'm kind of stepping back from that and not just jumping in with both feet.
I celebrate that. I would say amen. You're doing the right things. Don't busy up your life. Busyness is often barrenness. You're not replacing your daughter with a ministry task. You're not. You're not going to. You should not even try to. The treasure of having a daughter who has come and gone
is a treasure belongs to you. Enjoy it and treasure it. Grieve through it. Read Lamentations every morning instead of once a month and understand the grieving process and what it means. It is a grief. I wrote an article, Who Will Eat the Pickles? I got home from that trip leaving her at college and I opened up and we have these pictures of the two of us, Anissa and I, sobbing, just red-eyed, tears, no makeup, and my husband and pulling us apart. We did not. I did not want to leave that. She was not prepared to leave there. She was just too young. Blah, 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 blah. And when I got home, there were the pickles. I opened up the refrigerator and I went, no one will ever. Well, she was home 6 weeks later and ate the pickles. I mean, it's a mother's heart. Go through it. Enjoy it. Revel in it. Tell your best friend how much you miss her and cry together. Don't try to pretend it isn't there.
We have in this room today and we have listening two kinds of women, those who need to be mentored and those who should be mentoring, or maybe both. And depending what your season of life, so let me just ask, are you at a season of life where you should be reproducing in the next generation? Let me say to you older women, one of the saddest things I hear from younger women is this statement, I desperately want and need someone to mentor me, but the older women don't seem to want to do that. I don't know why that is. I think sometimes it's because the older women are afraid or feel like this is more than I could handle. This is more than I could do. Let me say, you don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to have lived a stellar life to be a godly mentor. You have to have a humble heart and a willingness to come alongside and take someone's hand and say, let me just help point you to God in practical areas of your life. So to you older women, let me just encourage you, step out in faith, realize God has put you in this season of life for a purpose. You want to fulfill God's purpose at this moment of your life, and that is not to sit and do what Donna said in the last session, underwater macrame, whatever that is, or some of the things that may be frittering your life away. God's not giving any of us very many years here on this earth. Use this season of your life to be investing in the next generation. Then if you're a younger woman, maybe a young wife, a young mom, a single woman, ask the Lord to direct you to an older woman who can encourage you in your faith, point you to Christ, pray for you, pray with you. Learn to ask questions. I ask questions everywhere I go of older women. Mm-hmm. Teach me. Help me understand. And I have learned so much and am still learning so much from the older women that God has brought into my life. And sometimes it's through reading. Sometimes it's through listening to their messages. Sometimes it's one-on-one relationships. Ask God, who do you want to mentor and who do you want me to mentor when it comes to that season of life?
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been challenging you to pray for opportunities to develop authentic mentoring relationships. Earlier, we heard from Donna Otto on the value of mentoring. She regularly counsels younger women in all kinds of areas. These include practical tasks like managing your home. She'll pass on a lot of that wise advice to you, too, in the book, Finding Your Purpose as a Mom. You'll be more effective in managing your home after reading this book, and you'll be reminded about how important your role is. When you donate any amount to the Ministry of Revive Our Hearts, we'll send Finding Your Purpose as a Mom along with a bookmark that brings you some of Otto's mottos. These wise sayings from Donna convey practical tips on managing your home. When you call with a donation of any size, just ask for Finding Your Purpose as a Mom and Otto's Mottos bookmark. Call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or take us up on this offer by visiting reviveourhearts.com. Well, how did you feel when Donna Otto began talking about busyness and burnout today? Would you share your thoughts with Donna and our listeners? You see, Donna is part of the Revive Our Hearts listener blog today. Visit reviveourhearts.com, scroll to the end of today's transcript, add your comment, and read the thoughts of Donna and other listeners. Well, do you find yourself thinking of your husband as an enemy? Donna Otto helps you battle that temptation tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.